Good morning. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 say this, "Truly, truly, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, that he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep in the sheep pen, but continually climbs up some other way, he is a thief by plan and a robber, a false shepherd trying to steal the sheep through criminal means. But he who enters by the door legitimately is a shepherd of the sheep." John 10, 3 and 4. "To him, the true shepherd, the doorkeeper opens the door and lets him in anytime he wants to come in. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by his own name and leads them out from the pen. And when he, the true shepherd, puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." John 10, 5 and 6. "A stranger, the sheep simply will not follow, but the sheep will flee from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what the things were that the Lord Jesus Christ had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.' John 10, 9 and 10. I am and keep on being the one and only door to salvation. And if anyone enters through believing in me," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, third class condition if, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. "If anyone decides to enter through believing in me, he will be saved, and he will go into salvation and out to experience the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, and he will find pasture. The thief, the false shepherd," this is a reference to the Pharisees, "comes only to steal with deception and to kill by use of criminal means and to destroy," that is to neutralize the sheep. "But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came that believers in Christ may have the Zoe life and have it abundantly." We come to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into all the truths of the Word of God so that we can bear fruit through perseverance in the study of the Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind." During Bible study, God the Holy Spirit prepares you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your soul. So thank you for expressing your will with your presence, and thank you for being here to get another dose of truth, courtesy of the members of the Godhead, the ones who love you unconditionally. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is "The Voice of Truth."
I will choose to listen then. shaken in their armor, wishing they would have the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. And the giant keeps on telling me, time and time again, oh, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Well, the stone was just the right size to lay the giant on the ground. And the way they don't seem so high from on top of them. I was so like wings of weasels, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, as he revealed the truth to me. And the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe the voice.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Make us aware of your policies of whatsoever, of whosoever, and of all, and the inclusiveness of your plan for all mankind. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you, believers in Christ, for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to open themselves to an intense and personal and passionate relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his infallible word. It contains no errors or contradictions or lies. The Bible is the absolute truth. Today's lesson, Paul's resume. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul's resume. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Let's begin this lesson by taking in the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Caleb Alburn.
Good morning. Everyone said good morning back this time. This is nice. God provides the Word of God through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There is no charge for anything at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere to receive the Word of God free of charge. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. So Barah Ministries has been going through a lot of changes this year. I'd like to think that we're going through some growing pains right now, or rather that we're being pruned. That's probably a more accurate assessment. God has been pruning Barah Ministries for the last 7 months now, And of course, we know that getting pruned isn't always necessarily the most fun thing that we endure. Pruning hurts. It hurts no longer seeing familiar faces. It hurts no longer seeing friends. It hurts having less and less meaningful conversations with people that we have much in common with. And as weird as it sounds, that's kind of the nice part about being pruned. Sure, it hurts, but it always works out for our benefit. We're always bigger and fuller afterwards. We always have a greater impact on those around us. So one way to look at this pruning is to see that we have a lot more open seats than we used to. And meaning that means that we must be doing something wrong. But I like to look at it the other way. We just have a lot more room for other people to step up. And that's actually what's been happening. You know, I want to give Larry Collins a shout out. He got us on Pal Talk, and now they're looking into moving down here. Zach volunteered to head this next conference that we're doing. And Matt now got us an app. Almost everyone here actually is physically doing something for the benefit of this ministry. And when you compare that with other Christian organizations, that's unbelievable. It's not actually normal. There's no other church that has the same level of dedication from its core members. So for that, thank you. Because I'm seeing the same people here week after week, lesson after lesson. And your consistency is actually edifying to me personally. It lets me know that the things that we're doing here is worthwhile. It makes verses like Proverbs 16:3 come to life that says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. That sounds great to me because I have insanely large plans. And in fact, it's much easier for me to focus on God than to focus on accomplishing everything that I personally want to do. My question is, how true is that for your life? What plans do you have that you want to see come to fruition? Because the Bible tells us the easy way on how to make this happen. And God reminds us again, John 3:30, that he must increase, but I must decrease. So remember this, and please remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver.
You were condemned.
Welcome back. Today's lesson, Paul's resume, the apostle to the Gentiles. So we're studying the resume of Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Here are the 10 things we're studying about his resume. In the last lesson, we went over five of those. He is an author. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He is a persecutor of the church. He describes himself as the persecutor of the church and as the worst person of all time. He is a bondservant of Christ, doulos. He has volunteered to dedicate his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an apostle by spiritual gift. Each one of us as believers in Christ have a spiritual gift, and the question really becomes, how are you using it? He is the least. He describes himself as the least of the apostles. He describes himself as the least of the saints, the least of the believers in Christ. In this lesson, we're going to look at these next six items. He is called, and at least we'll look at it at called on the surface, and we'll deal with it more in depth next week. He is called. He is set apart by God. He is a minister of the gospel of God the Father. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the man in between, and we described that last week as a person who stands between a bully and weak people. And so Paul was the bully at one point and then turned around and became the man in between, the person who stood between the bully and weak people. And Paul was, as Deacon Denny pointed out to me on the break, Paul was also smart enough to recognize that he is also weak. And he was smart enough to put himself in the position of weakness. And then I think it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 12. He says he is delighted with his weaknesses because when he is weak, he knows that's when he's strong because the power of Christ is dwelling in him. And so let's look at each of these items and see, you know, to continue our chronological ordering of what we've done in the first eight lessons, let's just look and see what we've done. Here, the sixth item is called. And we have yet to discover, we have yet to study the divine call. But it is mentioned three times in the first seven verses of Romans chapter 1. Paul is called as an apostle. We are the called of Jesus Christ. And we are called as saints. So what exactly does that mean? What does it mean to be called? And what is the significance of it? Because each one of you as believers in Christ is called. And I love what Deacon Caleb said in the offering, that there are a lot of people in this congregation who are stepping up and stepping into roles of significance. Rachel has volunteered to handle our finances. And that's a big deal because Rachel is really competent in finance. Zachary stepping up to take the conference is a big deal to me. We're still waiting for you teenagers to do something. I think you guys underestimate yourselves. There's some things that, you know, I think somebody asked you, Trenton, a question about what you think of the lessons. And, you know, well, they're all right. But you really meant they're boring, you know, so good. Then what do we need to do to make them appealing to teenagers? Those are some of the things that you need to say so you'll be willing to bring some of your hippie friends that have the big hairdos, and then we can have a lot of people that I can tease on a regular basis. But, you know, this is your church. And this is your ministry and your congregation, and it's, you know, your input is valuable and valued here, and it makes a big difference. Emily is doing a fantastic job with the kids. Elliot is dynamite with the teenagers when he gets a chance to teach the teenagers, right? And so those are things that your participation is what makes Christianity effective. Christianity isn't just hearing about what's going on in the Bible and saying, okay, check the box. It's really how does what you hear in here show up in your life? Who cares about Paul? Paul's dead. Right? Physically. Who cares about Paul? It's not about Paul. It's what does Paul's life say to you about your life? This week, on Tuesday, when you have something go wrong at work and you go home and beat yourself up? Are you going to remember what was said about Paul on that day, that he was the worst person of all time and you aren't that? And how fast are you going to recover from that regular set of beatings that you give yourself? What if you find out that you have some kind of a health problem this week that is very serious? What are you going to do about it? What is your mindset going to be? You got to ask yourself the question about that. And what is it that you entertain yourself with that is going to make a difference to you when that occurs? Because I will tell you that the Word of God makes a huge difference when that occurs. But see, we come to something like this and it's not always entertaining. And so then we blow it off. Well, I'll tell you what, the time to think about breathing isn't that time when you get kicked in the solar plexus. You should always dig a well before you're thirsty. Because when you're thirsty, that's not the time to think about digging the well. And that's why we come to Bible study. And what does it mean to be called? It means that God has a calling on your life. He's calling you to do something significant. He knows who you are and knew who you were from eternity past. And he doesn't want to hear your excuses about how you can't be the one to do something meaningful, because he knows better. And so what are you going to do? During those times when you're challenged to step up, do you remember that you're called? During those times when you're challenged to step up and you want to suck your thumb because you don't want to get out of your comfort zone, do you remember that you're called by God? Do you like the people in your life who call you to step up to a higher level? Or do you resent them? That's what's meant by called. It's to understand that there is a divine one in the universe who's asking you to step up your game. And I'm talking especially to you 20-year-olds. I got bad news for you. You are not going to be able to phone it in for 50 years. The average male dies at 72. The average female at 77. If you're 20, you're going to live 52 or 57 years. If you make it to 65, you're likely to make it to 90. Somebody was talking to me this week. He said with the advances in medical science, kids that are being born today, they'll probably live to be 150. They'll work till they're 120, and then they'll still have 30 years of retirement. Will they have enough money to last 30 more years? Because medicine can do a lot today that it couldn't do in 1918. My mom had 4 or 5 brothers or sisters die at childbirth, just because the medical community was horrible at that time. It's not that way anymore. So you're not going to be able to phone your life in when you're in your 20s, and life keeps giving you opportunities and asking you to embrace them. Do you blow them off saying, oh, well, I don't have to do that now, I'm young? Like conflict. Life brings you a series of conflicts. How do you handle it? Do you text message your way through it? Or do you step into the fire face to face with somebody and handle the conflict so you can get confidence in dealing with other people? And confidence that you and somebody that you're crazy about can recover from a crisis. So what does it mean to be called? It means that you may not think much of your life, but God does. So we'll get to that. Paul's resume, he is set apart by God. What does that mean? We've yet to study what it means to be set apart by God. The biblical term for it is sanctification. At the moment of salvation, God picks you up and puts you in a special place. Take a look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Here's what it says. While they, and they is a reference to the 5 men in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, while they were ministering on behalf of the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Look, you got two things in there. You got called and you've got set apart. All right, who cares about Barnabas and Saul? I don't. I don't know them. Maybe I'll care about them in the eternal state. I care about Saul a little bit because I studied with him quite a bit. But put your name in there. You, as a believer in Christ, are set apart and called. For what? You know, we got the guy with the funny hat in the back, Brent, believer in Christ. Brent. Or I don't care what his name is. The only name that matters in here is the pastor's name. Amen? Not really. Brett. Sorry, Brett. But Brett's got rose-colored glasses on, right? And he's got the funny hat. Right? But since he's come to Barah Ministries, he's brought a lot of people here with him. Nobody asked him to do that. He's just that way. That's amazing. And that indicates to me an understanding of what it means to be set apart and called. Because he's not sitting on his hands. He's talking about Christ. He loves Christ at a very young age. He's trying to make a difference in people's life. And believe me, everybody is not receptive to his invitation. He's invited some people that are really close to him, and he gets rejected 4 out of the 5 weeks. But it doesn't faze him. So these words mean something. So I don't care about Barnabas and Saul, but what about Brett and Trenton? Where the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Brett and Trenton for the work which I have called them. Yeah, he even calls teenagers. He likes teenagers. The Holy Spirit does. So Barnabas and Saul, who's also known as Paul, were set apart, and they were called from among the 5 men of verse 1 for the first missionary journey. They were responsible for spreading Christianity throughout the Roman Empire. Notice how specific it is that out of 5, 2 were picked out to do that. God is specific. He has a plan for mankind, but he also has a plan for your life. Paul's resume, item 8, he is a minister of the gospel of God. Paul worked harder than the other apostles. He produced more than the other apostles, yet he considered himself to be the least worthy of the apostles, and indeed he was the least worthy in light of his persecution of the church. But here's what he said about this thing that he was set apart for and called to in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He said, I, Paul, would have you know, brethren, believers in Christ in the Galatian region, that the gospel message which was preached by me is not according to man. It did not come from man. And by the way, if you haven't ever read the book of Galatians, you should just read it, because it is one of the best spankings that you will ever hear anybody write, because he just spanks them, because he went into the Galatian region, he evangelized to them, and no sooner than he had left, they turned around and did exactly the opposite of what they had promised to do. And he goes up there and spanks them. He says, who bewitched you? And that's what it feels like a lot of times when you're teaching. It feels like you teach people something, they go into their world, and then it's as if they're bewitched. They completely forget everything that they had just learned for all the hours that they spend learning it. They don't see the application of it to their lives. It's really astounding. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. I, Paul, neither received the gospel message from man, nor was I taught the gospel message by man, but I received the gospel message through a direct revelation of Jesus, the Christ. One of the things that Paul said consistently about Christ is that he was Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, his first name, the Christ, the Messiah. Why did he say that? Because he was Jewish. And he wanted to make it absolutely clear to the Jewish people, to the chosen race of people, that Jesus is the Christ that they had been waiting for. That Jesus is the Messiah, that he had fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the Mosaic Law, that he was God indeed. And he said it over and over and over again. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, here's what it says about the Word of God. It says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private interpretation. And no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is the exact thinking of Jesus Christ. It was written down by believers in Christ, and they wrote the exact thinking of Jesus Christ as it was dictated to them by God the Holy Spirit. Now, that makes no sense to us. Does that really happen? It happens every day. I thought my second lesson today was weird. When I was writing it, I thought, this is weird. Why is this stuff being in here? I don't even get it. And then when I saw who was here, I got it totally. That was not me. I was trying to write something else. Yeah, God's at work. And he's at work on you personally. And he knew a billion years ago every one of you who would be here. Dorothy with her tan from laying out in Cabo all week in her bikini. That's awesome. It's awesome, Dorothy. She's was she falling over her fist at me? So Paul is confirming in his minister of the gospel status that the things that he's writing are coming from God, not from him and not from other people. And that's amazing. What does that mean? That he was called. He was set apart. There was a calling on his life, something meaningful. What's the calling on your life? Take a 5-minute break. Welcome back. We were talking about Paul calling himself the least. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul called himself the least of all the saints. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, here's what it says. It says, to me, Paul, the very least of all the saints, the very least of all the believers in Christ, this grace was given to me by God. What grace? To preach to the Gentiles, he is the apostle to the Gentiles, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3, 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. The Greek word there is oikonomia, and it means dispensation. Paul's job was not only to be the apostle to the Gentiles, but to bring to light the dispensation of the mystery. What is that? Which for ages had been hidden in thee God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the one who created the all things. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, Jesus Christ created all things, and nothing that has ever been created was ever created except through him. So Paul's job was to bring to light the dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation of the church age. Ephesians 3:10, so that, why? So that the manifold wisdom of God the Father might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This age, the church age, is a really, really significant age in the heavenlies. Why? Because angelic creatures fell. They were perfect, and then they fell. And then God offered them something, reconciliation. And the church age is the reflection of that reconciliation. And what does it say? It says that Jesus Christ was willing to do 1,000 times more for his creatures after the fall than he ever was willing to do before the fall. And so every time you go into a mental place where you start beating yourself up, where you start thinking that somehow God is against you and that he's holding something against you, you need to get clear about unconditional love, because everything in the plan of God states it. Even the age we're in states it, the church age, that he was willing to do much more for creatures after their mistakes than he ever was willing to do for them before their mistakes. And so after your mistakes, after the mistake of creatures, what did he do? The indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He placed us into union with Christ. And what does that mean as believers? It means that we can never, ever lose our salvation. It means that we can never, ever break the relationship with God ever again. And that's amazing. That's what Paul was selected by God to teach us, so that the manifold wisdom of God the Father might now be made known through the church, through church age believers like you, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. They rubberneck to watch you. And they get to see what God is willing to do with a set of creatures that they consider to be as inferior as ants. And they're amazed by it. Ephesians 3:11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God the Father carried out through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his agency. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we believers in Christ have boldness and confident direct access through our faith, because we're in union with him. Listen to that. Go boldly before the throne of grace. You have bold and confident access to God. Do not go before God as a mealy mouth. Go to him and tell him what you want. That's what he expects from you, church age believers, because you are royalty in his eyes. You are perfect in his eyes. And that's what he expects you to do. He expects you to come to him and tell him exactly what you want done. And he will do it. He will deliver because he promised it. So Paul was a minister to the church, to a minister of the gospel of God the Father. Another aspect of Paul's resume, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. We're dealing with this on the surface, but we'll deal with it in depth. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, or I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. So not very far from where you are. And this will be the early context of what we just looked at. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." He said that because he was in prison at this time, not because he was a doulos. "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, for your benefit, and you have." Ephesians 3:3, "that by revelation there was made known to me by God for you the mystery doctrines of the church age, as I wrote before to you in brief." Ephesians 3:4, "by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery doctrine of the indwelling Christ, the Messiah." You see, here's what's going on. Paul was Jewish, and he was into the Mosaic law. And he was a hater of Christians and a hater of the church. Then all of a sudden, he turns around, goes the other way, becomes a believer in Christ, and now he's teaching a whole different set of doctrines. The mystery doctrine of the church age, which says, not only is Jesus Christ God, when I said he wasn't, but he's indwelling us. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. They thought he was on drugs, whatever the drug of choice was at the time. They thought he was absolutely nuts. "So by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery doctrine of the indwelling Christ, the Messiah," Ephesians 3:5, "which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men." Moses knew nothing about this. David knew nothing about this. "As it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit," in pneumati is the Greek word there, "those with the indwelling Spirit," believers in Christ, church age believers in Christ. Moses didn't have the indwelling Spirit. David didn't have it. Ephesians 3:6, "to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews and fellow members of the body of Christ, and the Gentiles are fellow partakers of the promise in union with Christ Jesus through the gospel message." To his Jewish friends, that statement was worthy of death. They wanted to kill him because he said that. His life was always in jeopardy for saying that, because he was saying that the Gentiles were as good as the Jews. They wanted to kill him for that. Ephesians 3:7, "of which gospel message I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his enabling power." So if you put that on right behind and continue on in verse 8, "to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light the dispensation of the mystery, which for ages and ages had been hidden in thee, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created the all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might not by now be made known through church age believers to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he," God the Father, "carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident direct access through faith in him." Unbelievable. Powerful, unbelievable statements that Paul is making about who he is and what he was called and set apart to do. And then item 10 in the Paul's resume, and we talked about this last week in depth. He was the man in between. He is the standard for imperfection. The angels, the angelic creatures, were born adults and they were created perfect. And they fell. They went from perfect to imperfect. That is not our situation. As human beings, we were born physically alive and spiritually dead and on the wrong side of a barrier, separated from a relationship with God and unable to do anything about it. So we are imperfect. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth without a sin nature, born of a virgin, to prove to Satan and the fallen angels what the possibility of perfection was. And in 33 years, he lived a sinless life, and he proved that perfect creatures could live a sinless life. Paul is the standard for imperfection, because Paul was the worst of all of the imperfect creatures. And what he proved is what the possibility was for imperfect creatures. And what was that possibility? That they could be so depraved that they wanted to wipe out the Christian church. They could be so depraved that they were haters, and that God could turn him around and make him the greatest believer of all time if he would let God do that. And he did. And so we call Paul the man in between. Why? Because he was a bully as the hater of the church, and his target was the little people. Men, women, and children who were of the way, believers in Christ. And the one who stood in between was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "I'm not persecuting you, Lord. I'm persecuting Christians. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul became a believer in Christ and turned from bully to braveheart. He turned from bully to a man who was in the gap, a man who was standing in front of the little people. And the little people is us. And Paul stood in front of us as the standard to communicate the mystery doctrine of the church age and to give us confidence that Christ is indwelling us and that we can have absolute confidence in our future glorification. Absolute confidence that we will be reflecting our Savior. Absolute confidence that we have salvation. Absolute confidence that it is free of charge. Absolute confidence that we cannot lose it, not ever. And that no one will be able to snatch us out of the Lord's hands. So Paul is the man in between. So now that we have all of the information of the first eight lessons in chronological order, what I'd like you to do this week is read the entire first chapter of Romans. Write that down. I'd like you to read the entire first chapter of Romans. That's 32 verses. I'd like you to read it in light of the outline that I gave you in lesson 9, and I've given it to you before. And then I'd like you to go over those verses with the quiz in mind. And here, just quickly as a reminder of what the quiz questions are. First, who wrote the New Testament letter to the Romans? What is a bondservant? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the three things that make the Lord Jesus Christ unique among those who call themselves gods? Who is Paul? What does it mean to be called? What is an apostle? What is the difference between an apostle and you? What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ is born a descendant of David according to the flesh? What does it mean to be set apart? What does it mean to be a minister? What does it mean to be beloved? What is a saint? What is grace? And what is the significance of being at peace with God? Now, Trenton and Alani have agreed next week to come up front and to answer all those questions for you, because they think it's kind of a joke that I even have a quiz. And so I think that's just an amazing thing. Thank you both. Yeah, give them a hand. I don't care what Deacon Denny says. Teenagers are not worthless. So using your notes this week, answer as many of those questions as you can, because in the first 11 lessons, we have some pretty in-depth answers to those. Teach these things to someone if you can. Think about somebody that you know who is a Christian and teach them this. And see if you can, but be prepared for a shock. It might be even interesting if you teach the information you learn to other members of the congregation so that you can get some insight into the value of repetition, because I think you'll be surprised at how many times we can hear something and really not know it. But I think it's best to test your knowledge by teaching it to others. And I look forward to seeing how you do on the quiz. We'll continue next week with called and set apart and advancing in our and summarizing what we know about Paul so that we can get back to continuing down the road of chapter 1. Closing song, Come Into Your Presence.
Still small voice, and I'll obey.
I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you, not a him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for caring about us in eternity past. And thank you for giving us everything that we would need to be completely successful in this life. Thanks for the tribulation and the adversity. Thanks for the prosperity. Thanks most of all for being there for us. I pray that you lift up the countenance and the spirit of people in this congregation as we go through the transitions that we're going through, and give them the hope and the vision of a future that is filled with excitement as we reach out into the community and extend what we know to others who are looking for you and looking to have a relationship with you and your word. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.